On June the 4th, 1942, the U.S. Navy scored a decisive victory against the same Japanese force that raided Pearl Harbor almost exactly 6 months earlier. Victory at the Battle of Midway has been described as somewhere along the continuum between improbable and miraculous. It's a story of overconfidence and calculation, about famous admirals and an eccentric codebreaker, but like every battle, it is most of all a story about men in desperate struggles to succeed and survive in horrific circumstances. One of them, Ensign George Tex Gay. He flew an obsolete torpedo bomber off the deck of USS Hornet. Gay was Tail End Charlie, the last of 15 planes from Torpedo Squadron 8.
When I first spotted the Japanese Navy, about the same time everybody else did, I'm sure, I was convinced that we were late. But instead of being late, we were first of the Navy to get there. It was just an ocean full of enemy ships and anti-aircraft fire and smoke and airplanes all over everything. It was a mess, but we went right into it.
And due to a series of blunders and miscalculations, they were alone. Gay watched every single plane ahead of him shot down by Japanese fighters. He managed to launch his torpedo just before his plane, too, went into the water. He described floating in the middle of three Japanese aircraft carriers when he suddenly saw American dive bombers attack.
They hit those three carriers just as they were going by me. I couldn't have had a better view. I was right smack in the middle of it. But boy, I'll tell you, those explosions and all the steel and shrapnel and their anti-aircraft fire and everybody shooting at everything, there were a lot of places I'd rather been.
Gay was the only member of his squadron to survive that battle. Former congressman, now novelist and historian Robert Mrazek wrote a new history of George Gay's unit, A Dawn Like Thunder, the true story of Torpedo Squadron 8. And he joins us on Midway Day from a Cornell Studio University in Ithaca, New York. And it's nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Thanks very much, Neil. Glad to be here.
And George Gay's story is somewhat familiar to us, but a lot of the details, there's been a lot of scholarship about the Battle of Midway in the first 6 months of the war in the Pacific that's been new over recent years. You incorporate that into your book, including the fact that some of America's most famous admirals committed terrible blunders that day.
Yeah, certainly Admiral Pete Mitcher, who later on became the commander of Task Force 58, and did an extraordinary job later on in the war, made some egregious mistakes. And beyond the fog of war and understandable mistakes, this one was a mistake that cost a lot of men their lives and could have been avoided. He attempted then to cover it up, which was something the book goes into some detail about.
And indeed, the cover-up, lasted for many years, and the reasons for it, as you say, you go into it in a great deal of detail. There had been a perception about the sacrifice of Torpedo Squadron 8 that, for many years, that because of their attack, low level, they drew Japanese fighters down low towards the water, and that opened the way for the subsequent and devastating attack by American dive bombers. It turns out it wasn't quite that simple.
Well, that was certainly an important factor. Torpedo Squadron 8 bought the precious battle time that allowed the dive bombers to find the Japanese fleet. And in fact, the Zeros, the dozens of Zeros that were coming down on the deck to shoot down the torpedo planes, which were coming in very low, precluded them from blocking the dive bombers who were coming in at about 3 miles higher. It's fair to say that a handful of men, you know, unlike the Battle of Stalingrad, which was the pivotal battle in Europe where you had the German Sixth Army against Zhukov's Siberians and hundreds of thousands of men clashing in a battle of attrition, here, quite amazingly, you have a handful of American aviators who were responsible for achieving the transcendent victory over Japan in what became the most pivotal battle of the Pacific War. And they didn't hit any of those ships with their torpedoes, but they did buy the battle time, and 45 out of the 48 men who flew with the squadron that day were killed in the process.
Some flew off of Midway Island as well as off the deck of the USS Hornet. Robert Mrazek's book is A Dawn Like Thunder, The True Story of Torpedo Squadron 8. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And one of the most fascinating parts about your book is that you then follow Tex Gay out of the Pacific waters, where he floated for, 36 hours before he was finally rescued. And he goes back to the United States, a hero, to raise money, war bonds. But then he and Torpedo Squadron 8 return to the battle.
Well, the story of these men, Neil, I think has all the dramatic elements any author could ever hope to find. It's a tale of honor and courage and tragedy and lost love and expediency, military incompetence, and all kind of wrapped up in the dramatic landscape of this important battle. Gabe became a victim of celebrity in a certain sense. A lot of the widows of the pilots who were killed, who never came back, resented the fact that he became a celebrated national hero. But the Navy needed heroes at that time. It was less than 6 months after Pearl Harbor. The United States had not had a victory. The Japanese were ascendant. They were at the zenith of their power. They had conquered an empire that it had taken the Western powers 400 years to acquire. And so Gabe became and was a legitimate hero and deserved the accolades that he received.
The second 6 months, if you will, of the Second World War in the Pacific, focused around the island of Guadalcanal, Torpedo Squadron 8 was very active in that conflict as well. And there's another character, Swede Larsson, the commander of the unit at Guadalcanal, one of the most celebrated combat flyers in the history of the United States Navy, and a man broadly despised.
Yeah, it was kind of fascinating to me. He was a very tough warrior, the kind of man one needed in combat with the Japanese. But he was the kind of man who saw himself as the hammer, and the men who served under him were the nails. He never asked them to do anything that he didn't do himself. He led from up front. But he liked to humiliate his men. Two of them, in the process of the battle at Guadalcanal, tried to kill him. One nearly succeeded. He's a fascinating character, an extraordinary character, one of the most bigoted men I've researched and read about, but someone who was a pure warrior.
And Guadalcanal, unlike the drama of the one day at Midway, actually the battle lasted a couple of days, but pretty much all of the action was that first day. But Guadalcanal lasts 6 months, and it's a battle of attrition. It's some days the United States flyers and ships and Marines did well. Other days the Japanese did better. And it is both nations at the absolute stretch trying to get men and equipment and supplies to an obscure malarial hellhole that's almost equidistant from both.
Yeah. Samuel Elliott Morrison, Admiral Morrison, said that for the men who fought there, Guadalcanal was not just a word, it was an emotion. They had to live in appalling conditions, living largely on Japanese supplies. The Americans were in constant combat against the Japanese garrison, which was being fortified from up north at Rabaul. The job of Torpedo Squadron 8, which sustained the highest casualties of any naval air squadron during the Guadalcanal battles, was to knock down the ships, to sink the ships that were coming down sent by the Japanese to replenish their garrison. And they went out in all weathers, day and night, to try to sink those ships against great odds, and fought until there were no planes left. And when there were no planes left, Swede Larsson ordered his chief machinist mate, Chief Hammond, to build him a new plane out of the corpses of the aircraft that had been destroyed during the battle. And he then began flying these Frankenstein planes one at a time as they were rebuilt with wings that were out of kilter and going over the Japanese lines and attacking them counterattacking them when the Japanese were close to victory a couple of times. It was an amazing episode.
And this amazing story of these men in Torpedo Squadron 8, warts and all, is told in Robert Mrozek's book, A Dawn Like Thunder, The True Story of Torpedo Squadron 8. Again, the Battle of Midway, 67 years ago, June the 4th, 1942. Robert Mrozek, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you for inviting me, Neil.
Ensign Smiley Morgan's first glimpse of the destruction at Pearl Harbor from the deck of his aircraft carrier. You can read that description from Robert Mrozek's book at our website. That's at npr.org. Just click on Talk of the Nation. Tomorrow at Science Friday, Ira Flatow will be here with a conversation with author Tom Levinson about Isaac Newton's secret life fighting crime, plus an update on cancer vaccine research. That's tomorrow's Talk of the Nation Science Friday. We'll see you again on Monday. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.